they can be confounding at the same time, but good things, good memories. In our family with Vanessa and myself, and by the time you add up all the kiddos, before any marriages take place among the kiddos, there were 9 of us together. And so anytime you can gather 9 people, adult children, in the same room, you've got some strange things going on. So let me give you a peek, about a 30-second peek into the minds and the life of our crew. So watch this video. You know, in our families, we develop some unwritten rules. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus, God the Son, according to God's plan, allowed himself to be born into a human family. Jesus, perfect God, was born into an imperfect home. He was born into a broken home with broken parents and broken siblings. I can't even imagine trying to be the brother of Jesus. I mean, he set the bar pretty high, right? I mean, there's no attaining what he attained. It was a broken home, except for Jesus. Now, in every home that's a human home, we have a tendency to develop some unwritten rules. And some of these unwritten rules that we have keep some bad things functioning inside of that home. And it keeps those things functioning year after year after year, sometimes generation after generation. So unwritten rules. No one really writes them down and teaches their children, these are the rules that we follow in this home. They're just understood. They just get this idea as they grow up in the home. Oh, this is a rule in our home. And these children are taught these rules by what gets rewarded and what gets punished. So I made a list of some of the most common unwritten rules that get passed down from generation to generation. And here's the first, the rule that says we don't feel things. In this home, we keep our emotions to ourselves, especially anger. We keep anger to ourselves, but often there is one person in the home who is allowed to express anger, but nobody else can express anger. Unwritten rule. Here's another one. We are always in control. In other words, we don't show weakness. In this home, we don't ask people for help because that's weakness. We take care of it ourselves. Here's the next one. We deny what's actually happening in the home. We don't believe our gut reactions or our senses. We feel like, oh, they lied to us. So we don't believe what's really happening. We kind of just deny that it's going on. Here's another one. We don't trust people. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust others. No one can be relied upon. No one can be confided in. They can't be trusted. Here's another unwritten rule that gets passed down. We keep our family secrets. We don't talk to other people about what's really going on inside of our home. That stays here just between us. Here's another one. We're ashamed. We are to blame for everything bad that happens, and for some reason, some way, somehow, we deserve what happens to us. These are all unwritten rules. There's many, many, many more that get passed down from parent to child, all the way down, generation after generation. Because the family is a system. It is not just made up of individuals. The family is a system, and it works together. This system, a system of some kind, exists in every single family. And systems function because everyone in the system plays their part to keep that system functioning. And so we have a tendency to repeat all or parts of systems generationally, generation to generation to generation. They get repeated without us really realizing that that's what's happening. It's not a good family thing versus a bad family thing. This happens in every family. And on this side of the Garden of Eden, all families, including the family of Jesus, because it's this side of the Garden of Eden, all families are broken in some way. All families have systems that they pass from one generation to the next without even realizing that's what they're passing down. And that makes this passage I'm getting ready to read. This is our passage for this morning, but it makes it scary and it makes it make sense. So before I get to the passage, let me tell you what was happening when this passage was given to us. God gave the children of Israel, who had just been freed from slavery out of Egypt, he gave them their first rules, their laws, the Ten Commandments. But tucked into that experience, we find this passage. So just remember, that's what has just happened. They've been freed from Egypt, and God gives them the Ten Commandments, and right along with it, he tells them this. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Yet he, this is God, does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. Now that's scary. And that at the same time, this is confusing to us because we're like, wait a minute. What? Are you telling me that God is going to punish me for something that's not even my fault? So let's clarify this. Let's talk about what this is not saying. This passage is not saying that God is going to punish someone for something they didn't do. So let me read this same passage, this same verse out of a translation that we often teach from, the NLT. Listen to it from this, and it might help us understand and clear up some of this confusion. It says, same verse, different translation. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. And listen to this qualifier. The entire family is affected. Even children from the third and the fourth generations. What the Bible is describing here is what we could call a family system that is broken. We call that with one single word, a sin. Sins. And God is describing that sins themselves get passed down generation after generation after generation. And this morning, we want to encourage you where you are right now in your life as an adult, as a student, as a teenager, as a grandparent, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, a neighbor. I encourage you to pause, to stop, and realize some things about your own systems in your own family. You see, what we're going to be talking about today didn't stop with a grandparent of yours. It got passed on to a parent, and it didn't stop with a parent of yours. It perhaps got passed on to you as well. And if left alone, it will continue to get passed, according to this scripture, generation after generation after generation. Now, in order for us to pause and take a look, to help us do that, we're going to take and understand this verse and this concept of generational sin. We're going to take a look at a family, a famous family in Scripture. And I'm just going to kind of describe their lives to you that we find described in Scripture. We're just going to visit a moment about them, but we're going to have their names on the screen. Here's the first couple that we're going to talk about, Abraham and Sarah. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they wanted children. They had no children, and they found themselves to be very, very, very old, and they still had no children, but God had promised them a child, but still, but way back in antiquity, that was a cultural custom. If someone's maidservant had a child, the person they worked for or served kind of could claim ownership of that child. And that's what Sarah was setting up. I'll take care of this. She can have a child for me. And yes, a child was born, and his name was Ishmael. And they were all so excited. Hagar is the name of the maidservant who had Ishmael, but Sarah claimed Ishmael as her own. But this is not the child that God promised them when he promised Abraham and Sarah. He promised them a child in his timing that would be hers, not culturally hers, biologically hers. And so God does do what he promised, and a child is born, and this child's name is Isaac. Now, Isaac is on the scene. Isaac is born, and he really does belong to Sarah. And now we see something very important. We see this pop up and emerge inside the family. We see favoritism, because now for Sarah, Ishmael, he's not really mine. But Isaac, he's mine. Favoritism. Abraham and Sarah both play favorites, and they agree who the favorite is. So Ishmael is rejected. First, he's just rejected emotionally, and then he is literally rejected, and he is sent away from the family. And here's the unwritten rule. We don't talk about Ishmael. Now, Isaac saw all of this played out. He lived through all of this. Now, since he saw the devastating result of parents playing favorites with a child, you would think that he would be very, very sensitive and work really hard to avoid playing favorites, to avoid living what he saw. He saw favoritism split his family right down the middle, and it destroyed the family unit. So now we have Isaac, and he marries Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca have twins. Easy for these twins. Think of them like this. One of them kind of, you could call him an outdoorsman. an outdoorsman, like to hunt and fish. And think of the other twin as an interior decorator. He liked the things of inside, right? They were just very different. One is not better than the other. One is not right and one is wrong. No. They were just different. God designed different here, very different. But Dad, Isaac, begins to favor Esau, the outdoorsman. Mom, Rebecca, begins to favor Jacob, the interior decorator. Now, did Isaac recognize what was happening in his family with the favor? Did Rebecca recognize what was happening? Did they ever talk about it and discuss what was going on and this destructive pattern of favoritism? We don't know, but we could say probably not. Here's another thing we passed down, that unspoken rule. We don't talk about our problems in this home. And their favoritism now splits their family right down the middle. And in doing so, the two kiddos begin to fight. Jacob tricks Esau and he steals the inheritance. Eventually, Jacob has to run away. He is forced out of his family and he runs off for his life, to save his life, and he lives with his uncle in order to stay alive. Esau wanted to kill Jacob for what had happened. So we have now another generation. Let's add Jacob there under Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob. Now, Jacob wants to marry his true love. He's living at his uncle's to stay, so he can stay alive. And the uncle he's living with has a daughter. Her name is Rachel. Jacob wants to marry Rachel. Jacob, his uncle, tricks him. It's Rachel's dad, tricks him. And instead of marrying Rachel, he marries Jacob to the older sister named Leah. Jacob discovers this after they are married. He's angry. He confronts his uncle. And to make a long generational story short, his uncle says, okay, I'll let you marry Rachel too. You can eventually marry her as well. So you'll have two wives. Now, two wives. And in that culture, remember about the maidservants. They each had maidservants. And Jacob has children with both wives and the maidservants. Now, I know this is getting really complicated, and it is, but something is getting repeated over and over and passed down from one generation to the next. And in this family, we see it as a system of favoritism. With Isaac and Jacob, who has lived through this, with Isaac and Isaac, who lived through this with Abraham and Sarah, they've all lived through favoritism. And now Jacob picks his favorite as well. And it's not his firstborn child, no, but the firstborn from his favorite wife, who is Rachel. And that child's name is Joseph. So we add Joseph to the generation. Joseph is the favorite. And eventually, Joseph is forced to leave his family, forced out by his brothers. And it saves his life. But what we're seeing in this home, generation after generation after generation, we are seeing systems passed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, exactly like we just read in Scripture. In each generation, did you notice one of the sons had to leave by force, leave the family? Jacob was forced out of fear for his life. Joseph was forced to leave his family because of jealousy from his brothers, generation after generation after generation. And that's not the only system, favoritism. Somebody's forced out and they have to leave. But we see another system here too. There was a split in each family of some sort between the marriage partners, and alliances were formed. Abraham aligns with Isaac against Ishmael. Isaac aligns with Esau. And at the same time, against Rebekah, who has aligned with Jacob. And Jacob aligns with Joseph against all the other sons, generation after generation after generation, living out the very verse we just read from Exodus. You see, you could look back several generations in your own family, and you will discover some things in your own family. And by things, let's just call it what it is. We'll discover some sin in our own family, some things that have been passed down through each generation. And I don't know what it is for your family. So we just kind of pulled together a list of many different things that can be passed down. And let's just run through that list. See if you recognize anything in your own family that you had grandparents that struggled with, parents that struggled with, aunts or uncles that struggled with, or maybe landed into your home where you are right now. Favoritism, we've already used that as our example. Another one could be substance abuse. It could be other addictions of any type, addictive behavior, attaching onto something and losing much of your life just so you can protect whatever it is that you're craving and have to have. Sometimes we pass down generation after generation a poverty mentality. Sometimes we pass down kind of the opposite, which is a feeling of perfectionism, forcing our children to be that perfect child, student, that perfect athlete. Sometimes we pass down abuse that could be physical abuse. We see it all the time, generation after generation after generation. Or it could be verbal abuse that gets passed down from grandparent to child to their children to the, you know, and we see sometimes it's emotional abuse. Sometimes we see passed down reversing the parent role, and there's a child in the family who must step up and become the parent. Even though the parent is in the home, a child has to not act its age and become a parent to the parent. And to a parent to the other, we see in the home. So those roles get reversed. Sometimes we see enmeshment, where families get so in each other's business. Sometimes we see the opposite of that, which is detachment, where you keep everybody at a distance and you don't let anybody in. We see over and over again family roles that get repeated, how a child, there's always often in a family that's struggling, there's a scapegoat child, one that the family blames for everything that's going wrong in this family. It's their fault. And then there's the golden child. Oh, this child, though, is perfect. They do everything right. If you would only be like them. And then we also find the ignored child in that family. And those behaviors can be passed down generation after generation after generation. Or you might find the peacemaker, that one person who always is the buffer between everyone else. Maybe it's between two parents who don't get along or other family members who don't get along. And this child, this person is the one who always steps in and is required, and they feel their job, I have to make peace for the whole family. Instability gets passed down. Codependency gets passed down. Enabling gets passed down. Conflict avoidance or conflict escalation. All of these broken things can be passed down generation to generation to generation. But as you look at this list, the important thing is not just discovering for you and your family and those generations. It's the important thing is not just discovering what it is that is being passed down generation after generation. The important thing is this: what do you do with that information? Whatever has been done in the past that is not as significant as what happens and what we do today. You see, we must take responsibility for our actions, for our attitudes. We can't blame that great-grandparent, cousin. We can't blame them in the past for what we are choosing today. We have to take our lives, our decisions, our behaviors, and our attitudes, our reactions, and our actions, and we have to do something different today. See, we cannot change what happened to us. But today we can learn how to respond differently. And in doing so, rise above the influence of the past. You see, sins are passed down. This is just a small example of sins that are passed down. Look at that list again. Just look at that list. A very small example of the many sins that can be passed down in your family, in your generations. But here's what I need you to hear today. All of these things, that was then. And yes, some of it is generational. We are warned of these generational sins in Exodus. They've been going on a long, long time. Listen to what Paul writes. Under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, listen to what he says about people who have been trapped into sins, many of them generationally passed down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, some of you were once like that. That list of sins, he says, some of you that he's writing to, and now, and through God's providence, he's now writing this to you. Some of you were like that list. You were on the list. Some of you were once like that. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Paul is saying, what matters is not that you are on the list, that your sin is recognized. And yes, that is you. You did that. You chose that. No, 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 no. What is important is what you do right now. And he said it all begins with calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. My friends, I want you to know that can be passed down too. That can be passed down too. So what about this calling on the name of the Lord? What about standing on God and His plan as the priority for your life, no matter what? That can be passed down too. What about joy that we read in this new covenant, and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, and oh, that so difficult thing called self-control? What about that? Because I promise you, that can be passed on generation after generation as well. Family issues often stem from a brokenness that we have inside, this brokenness of unmet emotional needs, and this brokenness of self-blame, and this brokenness of family dysfunction. Just look at this list again. Look at this list. This list of these are kind of unwritten rules that we talked about in the beginning. We keep passing these down. And these keep us chained to generational sin and trapped in generational sin. And while we are not responsible, hear this, you are not responsible for the environment in which you were raised as a child and brought up. You're not responsible for that. We are responsible for seeking healing from in our lives now that can stop that cycle from being repeated to the next generation. And according to Paul, healing begins right here. Listen to this. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And that is where, with this series, we want to get you started today. That's where it starts. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. We call upon Him. We rely upon Him. We cling to Him and Him alone. And then do you know what His Spirit begins doing in your life? He allows you to begin choosing different. Living different. He allows you to begin reacting different. Not because you're so great, but because He is so great and He begins living through you. It begins by calling out to our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of God's Spirit. And then He allows us to begin choosing differently. And then the healing journey continues in your life with forgiveness. Those generations who came before you, We could just get angry and we could just finger point and we could just say it's their fault if they hadn't have, if they would not have, if they keep, they showed up the way they should have shown up, if they would have or wouldn't have, we could keep pointing and keep blaming. But now if we have surrendered our lives to His care and control, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power, through the power of God's Spirit. Then He begins allowing us to choose differently. And one of those choices is we begin that healing journey of forgiveness. And we can look back and say, I forgive those generations who have come before. Because as Paul wrote, that was me too. I was once that as well. Forgiveness. Let's take a look again at this family tree and this life of Joseph and what came before him. Generations of favoritism, generations of taking sides, generations of forcing one family member out. But yet you look at Joseph, and we find in his story that he called out to God. And we find in his story that he began to choose differently. And we find out in his story that he walked a path of forgiveness. We started this morning by looking at that passage of Scripture that sets us up with the concept of generational sin. It's the bad news called generational sin. But right before that, God says something differently. Right before that, listen to what he says in verse 5 that came right before where we were reading. Exodus 34, verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. And he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. Listen to what he declares, this God declares. He says, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And I want you to know, God never changes in his substance of who he is, and he is still to this day, at this very moment, filled with compassion, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And I want you to know this right now, that God can be trusted. Even when we can't trust ourselves and we can't trust our circumstances in which we were raised, and we cannot trust our feelings, we may not even be able to trust other people in our lives, but we can trust Him. And listen to what this God does. He says, I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. My friends, a generational sin may be repeated to a third generation and a fourth generation, but our God will send his blessings and his lavishness, his love, unfailing love, to a thousand generations. This is what God passes down from generation to generation to generation. And what does that lavish love look like? He says, I forgive iniquity. Your iniquity. My iniquity. My inability to be the parent that God designed me to be and wanted me to be and begged me to be, and I was not, but he forgives me. And he forgives your rebellion. Every time you have said, I want my way over God's way. I want it my way, not your way. Every time I said, I want to please myself above everyone else in my life. I don't care what you want. I want what I want. My rebellion. God forgave that, and he'll forgive yours. And he forgives your sin. And my friends, this is where it all starts. This is where it all begins. So we started this year saying, what does a disciple look like? And then we said, what does a disciple, we said, what does it look like in church? Then what does it look like at work? Then we described, here, are you really a disciple? And then in this month, we've been saying, what does a disciple look like at home? And let me tell you what a disciple looks like at home. They stop passing down the wrong family systems. And they can only do it because they call out to God. They begin to forgive people in their lives and in their past, and they begin to choose differently. And it is all powered by God himself, by his Spirit. And my friends, I can't think of a better way to end this series. Your kids will thank you. Your grandchildren will thank you. Grandparents, you can decide this today, and your grandchildren will thank you. And one day your great-grandchildren might look back to this day and thank you. Generation after generation. They might not know who to thank years and years from now, but it will be you. Let's pray. God, we offer these songs to you as worship to you. You alone are the one that we can call out to for forgiveness. You alone are the one that we can call out to walk out of generational sin, allowing you to change us and to rearrange us. Allow new to help us pass something new starting today to our children, to our grandchildren, to our nieces, our nephews, our church family. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to help us.